This is Steve Goodrich, known on the trail as Bird Shooter, and this is N2 Backpacking, a podcast for both hikers and backpackers. Hello and welcome to episode number 5 in the N2 Backpacking podcast series. This is Bird Shooter, and tonight we're going to speak with Ken Knight, who on the trail occasionally goes by the trail name The Weasel. Ken's a lifelong friend that I've known since preschool, and he and I got introduced into backpacking about the same time in the early 1980s through the scouting organization. The topic of discussion tonight is the 37.5-mile Chattooga River Trail. It's located near the South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia junction where the three states meet. And this spot actually is historically significant because in 1811, Andrew Ellicott made a survey here for the state of Georgia to resolve a boundary dispute between Georgia and North Carolina. And it was at this point that he marked a large rock in the Chattooga River with NC-GA. And the area has thus been known as Ellicott's Rock. 2 years later, the states of South Carolina and North Carolina sent another group to mark a similar rock along the Chattooga River. This actually is known as Commissioner's Rock, and it is often confused with the Ellicott Rock, which is located near the start of the Chattooga River Trail, northern terminus at Bad Creek, which is a short distance from Clayton, Georgia. The trail runs south along the Chattooga River, almost 40 miles, to a southern terminus at US 76, with this being the lowest point on the trail at 1,190 feet when you reach US 76. The highest point, not far from Bad Creek, near Burrell's Ford, at a waterfall known as Spoon Auger Falls, which sits at 2,389 feet on the trail. In May of 1974, Congress commissioned the river as a National Wild and Scenic River. And tonight, the Weasel and I are going to talk about four sections of the trail. He's hiked two of them, I've hiked all of them. Basically, our experiences on the trail, how it shares the footpath at times with the Bartram Trail and with the Foothills Trail. Talk about some of the waterfalls on the hike. Running into hunting dogs in the middle of the evening, and why the river is one of the most scenic in the Southeast. And now here is Ken. So this is Bird Shooter here, and tonight on the show we've got Ken Knight, a.k.a. The Weasel. Ken, thanks for being with us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me there, Bird Shooter.
You know, we go way back. The studio audience doesn't realize that you and I think you were probably there at day one of my backpacking experience back in scouting. And I guess that eventually took us to Philmont in 1983. That's a long time ago, eh?
Yeah, that I think probably was both our debut into backpacking. You know, we were in scouting as kids and had the opportunity to go to New Mexico, which was obviously a wonderful experience for both of us. And we've done a lot of backpacking and hiking since then, but that's what it started out. You know, that's what started all the backpacking for both of us.
Started the magic, so to speak.
There you go.
So I got to ask you there, Ken. Things have changed a lot since 1983 in terms of equipment and you know, just where we hike and what we do. How is the experience different for you today, now that you're a young man in your 40s and not a teenager that's, I guess at the time we're probably like 14, 15, 16 years old, right?
Oh yeah, it's crazy. You know, you think about the equipment that you used back in the Philmont days, and you're talking about a what was an external backpack and you know, true, they had a lot of campsites set up for you, but the equipment was very heavy. You know, you're talking canvas tents. You're talking about just stuff that you would never dream of taking out today. So, you know, the experience in a lot of ways was the same. You know, you're out in nature, and it's a great vibe, but a lot of things are so different. And, of course, your life changes as well.
You know, Ken, I think back to my grandmother, who for Christmas one year got me an orange backpack that probably came from, like, the local Kmart or, you know, thrift store. And she probably picked it up for $25, and it was, you know, just an old frame pack that I still had probably just as recently as 5 or 6 years ago. But not like we're hiking with that stuff today, huh?
No. I had a hand-me-down pack for my brother, which was very similar probably to what you had, but now it's a little different. You know, the equipment now is amazing. Everything's so much more lightweight, but...
So for those of you that weren't around in the 80s, feel fortunate with how the gear industry has benefited you over the years for backpacking with more lightweight and more durable goods, because back in the day, you know, you definitely were marching to a different beat, so to speak. Fair to say?
Yeah, no doubt. I recall the trip out to Philmont from Ohio, too. I don't know if you remember the bus that we rode on that no air conditioner.
I learned to play cards on that bus trip. I think I learned how to cheat in euchre on that bus trip.
Yeah, we both were able to stack the deck after that trip was over.
Absolutely. That's good. Well, so, you know, moving on to more recent times, the podcast today is about the Chattooga River Trail. And one of the reasons you're here with me tonight is our destination was set to be the Chattooga River tomorrow. Actually, the middle section around Russell Bridge was the plan. I'm not sure if that's going to actually happen. We had potentially an audible come up tonight, but we'll see. But so the last time, and you probably don't know this, Ken, but the last time I was on the Chattooga River was September 2001, right after 9/11, actually the weekend after 9/11. So the planes hit the towers on Tuesday. You know, our entire world was in a frenzy. The media was going crazy for 3 or 4 or 5 days after that. And, you know, the first thing on my mind was, man, I got to get out of here. I got to get out in the woods. I got to get away from this, you know. It was almost like the woods were a sanctuary for me. And we ended up going to Russell Bridge, which is the hike that we have planned for this weekend. And so, you know, I guess it was sort of an opportunity for me to clear my head and get away from the chaos. But back to the Chattooga River. The first section I believe you hiked was the Burroughs Ford to Bad Creek section, which is the northernmost section that goes up to Ellicott Rock. And I think you and I did this in November of 2005 in the dark, if I recall.
Yeah, I remember being apprehensive walking into the woods thinking, man, I've never done a night hike before. And, you know, fortunately, the trail was a pretty good trail. It was the type of thing where a lot of people had been on it. There were a few blowdowns. And if I remember, you had your dog with you, which, man, he was being a trooper. He could hardly see getting over those trees, but he was able to do it, you know, as we both were. And, you know, at one point, we ran into a group of Boy Scouts, and they showed us the way. They kept us on the right path, and it was a little tough to see. And I just remember finally seeing the fire, and we had a pretty big group of people at that point. So it was nice, man. It was nice pulling into camp and seeing everybody there. And, of course, Roger had his trademark fire going, which was easy to spot from a distance. And it was just a good feeling finally getting in, but it was a little scary walking at night, you know, no question.
So Roger, a.k.a. the Camel,
yeah,
known to torch a fire from time to time, not exactly the most leave-no-trace guy on the trail, but we're working on that. We've got him a little more under control these days. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. So, you know, I think that was a fall day. We'd been to a football game that day. Yeah, we got a late start. We rolled through Walhalla probably about evening, got a little McDonald's, I think, which Walhalla, South Carolina, for those of you who aren't from the southeast. And then when we started hiking out, it was pitch black. But the northern section, you know, I wouldn't call it easy, but it's relatively flat. You know, you're probably bouncing up and down 50, 100 feet, you know, not anything too crazy. The weasel and I roll into Bad Creek, which is where the scouts were. And do you recall that tent maze that was there when we rolled in there?
It was crazy. You know, it seemed like there was, I don't know what the exact number, but there was probably 50 scouts, and there was just tents everywhere. And I remember thinking, man, you know, first off, are we in their way? You know, what are these people thinking? These two guys are just walking through their campsite. You know, second off, I'm thinking, you know, how are we going to pick up the trail from this point? But you know, we had talked to, I think, one of the scoutmasters led us on the way, and he showed us the trail leading out of their camp. So, you know, it worked out well, and they were all actually really good, and it worked out well.
As former scouts, we got a little scout love there. They sent us, they showed us where the bridge was that, you know, essentially got us through the maze of tents, kept us going. And then we were able to raise our companions on the walkie-talkie, and I think we got them about probably 15, 20 minutes from where they're camping on the Chattooga. And they were nice enough to leave a lantern out, sort of like the old Paul Revere trick, you know, one if by land, two if by sea. Do you recall, like, how nice it was to see the lantern hanging by the trail so you knew where they were camping?
Yeah, I do. It wasn't that long of a hike. I mean, I don't know how, we did maybe, what, 2 miles, if that. I don't think it was that far, but it was just the whole unknown about being in the dark. But I do remember seeing the lantern, and I think, man, it seems like I saw the fire before I saw the lantern, but I can't recall entirely.
I definitely saw the lantern first, yeah. But you know, I was quite happy to, you know, snuggle up to a fire at that point because it had been a long night. It was November, you know, starting to get a little chilly in the evening. And then we roll into camp, and Rebel, who my old dog, who has since passed, and sad day for me, but I won't harp on that. Rebel, who was with us, and you were sitting around the campfire that night with their buddies. And then what happens, Ken? If you recall, we had a little experience that evening.
Was that with the other dog?
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there was a... we didn't know it at the time, but we heard Rebel just go nuts, and we could hear a rustling in the woods. You know, you never know what it is when you're out there. Some sort of animal, obviously, but we couldn't tell what it was.
And bear, wild boar,
yeah.
Could be anything.
Coyote, whatever, but Rebel was going nuts. So anyhow, we... over a short period of time, we figured out that there was another dog out there, and it was a hunting dog that was turned out to be used for bear hunting. It would tree the bears until the hunter could get there, which I don't think was legal, but you know, this dog was all skin and bones, and we actually felt sorry for it and gave it some of Rebel's food. We you know, brought it into camp after a while, and we kind of, I think it ended up sleeping there for the most part that night.
He was quite happy to have a few bites of food. Now, I don't think we were the only campsite that dog worked that night, because we took the number off the collar. I think there was a phone number on there. The hunting dog's worth a lot of money to some of those hunters. Certainly don't want to lose them, but we ran into some other folks the next day that had taken the same number. But actually, completely legal for your record here, Ken the Weasel.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, to tree a bear in Georgia is legal. It's one of the standard practices. So I'm not a hunter, so if I'm wrong about that, I'm sure I'm going to hear about it. But I think that is correct.
Yeah, you're probably right. And I remember seeing the collar, and it was a GPS collar, so you could locate that dog. So, you know, once we saw the collar, we were not as yeah, we didn't feel as bad for the dog, because we knew somebody out there knew where the dog was. Obviously, it had GPS.
Not the first time I've actually run into wild, I shouldn't say wild, but hunting dogs in the wilderness. If you backpack a lot, it's going to happen. And this dog was pretty happy to stay with us that night, as I'm sure a dog that's wandered the woods for 3 or 4 days is often willing to do. So let's talk a little bit about Ellicott Rock. And for those of you that don't know, in 1811, Andrew Ellicott made a survey for the state of Georgia to essentially resolve the boundary dispute between Georgia and North Carolina. And the way he did that, he marked a large rock in the Chattooga River with a North Carolina-Georgia inscription. And a lot of people think that Ellicott Rock is what is commonly mistaken as Commissioner Rock. And that is an inscription that says latitude 39 AD, 1813 NC, South Carolina, SC. And that is what I have a photo of on my website. But have you ever walked up toward Commissioner Rock or to Ellicott Rock before there, Ken?
No, you know, we never made it. We were considering doing it on that hike, but I don't recall why we didn't make that side hike, but I know it was a couple miles, and we ended up going. It was beautiful. You know, the leaves were turning at that point, and the landscape was wonderful. I didn't make that hike.
So, you know, a lot of history there, right? This is the point where North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia all come together, and that's essentially the focus of this section of the Chattooga River Trail. But to move a little further south, so the next day we wake up, we hike back to the car. And, you know, this time it's light, we can actually see. And, you know, I had been there before, so I knew where I was going, so, you know, made it a little easier for me. But Spoonauger Falls, you went, did you go there with your family? I know you went back there on another trip.
Yeah, I went there on a different occasion because if I remember, it was past where we had parked. And so I did end up going back with my family and doing I think we spent one night going the other way, you know, as to what we did on this hike. But yeah, I've been to Spoonauger Falls, and it's, you know, it's very nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a few hundred feet, not anything crazy, but, you know, a nice little diversion off the trail, very close to the Chattooga River, and then you get back to Burroughs Ford.
Yeah, it's very kid-friendly, I'll tell you
that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The kids loved it.
Yeah, so. Very kid-friendly. You know, make sure you stay on the trail, because you can follow the creek and get off course, and that'll screw you up a little bit. But so Burroughs Ford, as you recall, that's where we had parked, right? And I don't know if you remember this, but this is actually an area that there's a walk-in campsite. A lot of people park near there. They walk in. They camp right on the Chattooga. You know, I don't think it's very far, maybe a quarter of a mile. I personally have never camped there. I prefer the more backcountry experience. But from Burroughs Ford south, there's a section that runs all the way to Russell's Bridge. And I don't think that I've ever hiked that piece with you, but it's... you know, it's actually a nice section. There's a falls called King Creek Falls, which I think is a more dramatic and more exciting falls than Spoonauger. And the topography in this section probably runs, you know, somewhere between about 1,700 and 2,200 feet. There's a couple decent climbs, about 400 feet. And then eventually you make your way to this area called Lick Log Creek, which is accessible by a dirt road. And it's at that point that you actually pick up the Foothills Trail, which breaks away and... you know, the two run simultaneous for a period of time, but I don't think you've been in that section, right?
No, I have not. When I went with my family, I think we went to the, you know, we parked and we just camped right there. And you're right, it's about maybe a quarter of a mile. You walk down to a campsite, and you know, that's where we stay. But I haven't been to the site that you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's the site, by the way, that we actually had targeted for this weekend, but that's the Burroughs Ford to Russell's Bridge section, and there's three separate pieces that I've hiked, one in 2000, one in 2004, and one in 2001, right after 9/11. But it is what I would call relatively, you know, moderate change of elevation, 50 to 100 feet, and then once you start to get past Lick Log Creek, it gets tougher. There's some decent climbs in there, maybe a few hundred feet. But then we get to the Russell Bridge to Sandy Ford section, and that is a section that I did with you. And each one of these sections are roughly about 10 miles, but the Russell Bridge to Sandy Ford section is the one that we hiked in 2004. And we had Roger, a.k.a. the Camel, with us. And if you recall, I guess we had an interesting encounter with a couple young men that lost their car keys.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the thing you take about out of that is that, you know, the takeaway there is don't lose your car keys when you're camping because, man, they had all sorts of trouble. We encountered these guys. Initially, I think we were... first coming in, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, we were in the process of shuttling cars between Burroughs Ford and Russell's Bridge, and we ran into them initially when we parked the first time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because we were moving the F-250 up the road.
Yeah, that's right. We had a pickup truck. We were moving them. And for those of you that don't know, the Sandy Ford section is actually the place we parked anyway. You know, it kind of helped to have a more off-road vehicle. You could probably do it in a Ford Taurus, but, you know, maybe not the easiest thing. So we get back, and we see two backpacks under the car, and we knew something was up, and that's when we started to suspect that they lost their keys.
Yeah, so, but on your point about taking a regular car in there, probably not a good idea, because there's a lot of creeks you have to go over, and as I recall, we were very happy to have a four-wheel drive at that point.
Yeah, and Russell Bridge a little different, right? Like, you know, I mean, you can probably get to that without any trouble, yeah, any vehicle.
Yeah, no doubt.
But Sandy Ford may be a little different. So, you know, I think you bring up a good point. If you're going to take car keys, you need to clip them to something so that they don't fall out of, an opening when they get the chance, right?
Yeah, somehow. But we were, you know, we ended up hiking, and you know, we saw the two backpacks when we first went in, and we were thinking, well, you know, that's a little bit odd, but we weren't sure what happened. And we probably got a mile and a half into the hike, and Roger looked down.
Hey, wait, before you say that, let me just state, and where you're going is absolutely correct, Ken the Weasel, but before we had that experience, we ran into the kids. I don't know if you remember. They were coming out, hiking toward the trailhead.
Yes.
And we saw them, and they told us they lost their keys. And
which explained the two backpacks underneath underneath the SUV.
And we told them we would look for their keys.
Right.
And then, 2 miles later, we found their keys.
Yeah, we actually found their keys. And so the dilemma was, you know, we're in this about 3 miles deep. Do we turn around and take the keys out? And by this time, as I recall, it was getting pretty dark.
Yeah, it was pretty close to
it. And so we decided, you know what, even if we do that, they're probably not there. They've probably gone into town or gotten a locksmith to come out. So we decided just to go on to the campsite. And I think we left their keys as we came out. You know, we left them on the board, but
with a note.
But you know, it turned out they had already gone into town. They'd gotten the locksmith. They'd gotten their thing taken care of. But obviously, it was a big hassle for them. So, you know, as a side note, don't lose your keys. Yeah, obviously,
that's a good tip.
So.
Actually, you know, now that I think about it, Ken, we helped them get a ride with somebody that was on the trail. Because this all went down, and there was somebody that was hiking right near us, and we hooked them up with a ride. But anyway, neither here nor there, your lesson is good, right? Don't lose your keys.
Yeah, don't lose your keys. I just remember them getting into town, and I'm sure it wasn't cheap to get all that taken care of.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was a big time waste as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think we camped that night just off a little small creek, nothing too dramatic. But the next day, the further we hike, you know, in Hurricane Ivan, that was a good while ago, but anybody in the South would remember Hurricane Ivan. How many bridges did we cross that were completely flipped over from Hurricane Ivan?
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, you don't think of a hurricane. You know, we're in Georgia. We're, 300-400 miles at least away from the ocean. So you don't really anticipate a hurricane causing a lot of damage up here. But certainly there are some winds that come by here. And I know we've been on other hikes where that's been the case as well. But you get a lot of blowdowns from these hurricanes because you do get a lot of wind that comes through. And, man, we had some bridges that were turned sideways. There was a lot of blowdowns, so it certainly wasn't the easiest thing in the world. But
it made for great photos, actually, Ken the Weasel. And if you look at the, you know, if you ever come visit N2Backpacking.com, pull up the Russell Bridge section and check out some of the bridges that were essentially turned on their side, flipped over. I mean, it was crazy. And it was actually almost like a jungle gym trying to get across them, right?
Yeah, it was tough getting across because, you know, obviously a bridge is not supposed to be turned over when you're across. And then,
oh, come on, man. I thought that was standard procedure. So, you know, the other thing that actually surprised me, though, I think we were a little closer to maybe the Sandy Ford area, but, you know, we're hanging out on the trail, and all of a sudden these horseback riders come through. It kind of looked picturesque, right? This big, wide body of water, these horseback riders trucking through, man. It was kind of cool, actually. I mean, I think I enjoyed actually seeing the horseback folks on the trail. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's this whole, you know, if you do follow the Chattooga River, which you've, you know, you've hiked it more than me, but it seems like you go out there and there's kayakers, there's horseback riders, you know, you'll see some, there's quite a few people out there. You know, you're going to see something. It's not the most remote trail in the world, but it's a really, really good experience, you know, in terms of seeing horseback riders, kayakers. You know, you might see a few other campers, but it's not overcrowded.
Well, you say kayakers, right? And so there's some class 3, class 4 rapids, you know, depending on, I guess, how the water's running, maybe even heavier rapids. And I got to ask you, I know you've rafted the lower section. You want to talk about that piece of it?
Yeah, I rafted that, you know, it was probably 15 years ago. I had just moved to Atlanta, and we actually stayed overnight in the state park. We took the next day, and we went down the Chattooga River, and I was actually shocked by how intense the rapids were. You know, the guide of our boat actually got thrown out of the boat. There was only a few people on our boat that didn't get thrown out of the boat. You know, we had a good time, and you know, that is Deliverance country, so that the movie Deliverance was filmed there, so that adds a little bit of shock value to it, I guess. But yeah, it was pretty cool, and my wife just actually bought a kayak, and the if you go to REI, there's an expert on every single subject known to man in there that they sell. And so the guy that sold her a kayak, actually, he frequents that area and said it's a really good area to kayak. So we always had a good time up there.
So on the Deliverance subject, I got to ask you, Ken. You know, you're a man that has lived in Georgia for quite some time. I think since at least 96, right?
91, yeah.
91, okay. Mm-hmm. And you married a girl from Georgia that grew up here.
Yep.
So Deliverance. You've seen the movie.
Yeah, it's just really unnerving.
You've squealed like a pig. I mean, is it a myth, or how do you compare the movie to the real life experience there?
I don't have any experience with that, actually.
Well, I mean, seriously, I think the Chattooga River gets a bad rap because of the movie. I mean, it's nothing like the movie whatsoever, right?
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, if you just take out the whole context of the movie, you just look at the scenery and just don't pay attention to the movie, and you look at the scenery, it's beautiful.
True.
But you know, the movie is just crazy, but if you look at the scenery, that's what you get, and it's beautiful scenery.
Did you hear any banjo playing when you were in North Georgia? I guess,
yeah,
that's my question.
There was a guy with no teeth. I think his name was Goodrich.
Hey, so for those of you that have no idea, I mean, you know, the movie, don't try to equate the movie to what it's really like in the Chattooga River corridor, because it's not fair to say.
Yeah, you know, at this point, I'm pretty sorry for bringing it up.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think we need to cover that, because, you know, when people hear Deliverance, they think of Chattooga River. So
yeah, that's true. And it really is beautiful, but it's probably nothing like the movie anymore.
It did a lot for Burt Reynolds, though.
Yeah,
the man that brought you Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
it's Stroker Ace.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't forget that classic.
Oh, the quality film.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the Chattooga River, and you know what's worthy of talking about, I guess. So the next section is the Sandy Ford to US 76 section, and I don't think you've hiked that section yet.
No, I haven't.
So let's talk about your wish list. Are you looking to knock off the remaining sections of the Chattooga River here?
Yeah, I'd definitely like to. You know, and I was hopefully this weekend we can make part of it. I don't know if it's going to be in the cards. We may call an audible, but yeah, definitely. It would be nice to have that the entire river checked off.
We do call a lot of audibles.
Yeah, it can happen.
Well, anyway, for the folks of you listening, the Sandy Ford to US 76 section is the southernmost section, actually. There's, you know, a couple decent climbs in there from 300 to 400 feet. that kind of takes you up and away from the river. Fabulous campsites in that area. And something that you are probably unaware of, that I'll enlighten you with there, Mr. Ken the Weasel, is that in 2002, a ancient Indian canoe from the, I want to say 1700s, could be earlier, was found during a drought in the river. It had essentially sunk, but for, you know, flow reasons, it was pretty well concealed for a long time. But finally, the water dropped, and, you know, essentially a ancient Indian canoe was recovered and is now on display in the Oconee Heritage Center. I bet you didn't know that.
No, I didn't. That's interesting.
Here's something else for you. It's not the first one that they've found in the area that's also displayed there.
Of course not.
Yeah, well, just a little factoid for you.
Okay.
So I thought you might like to know that. But, yeah, that is kind of a nice little bit of history, that the ancient canoe was found in the river in that area. But for the most part, the elevation runs about 1,200 to 1,700 feet. You know, I wouldn't say it's anything dramatic, but there are some decent up and downs in there. So it's not the nice, gentle, sloping hike that you get further up the trail, like in the Burles Ford to Ellicott Rock section. So, Ken, I got to ask you, I know you went with your family. Did you take a fishing pole when you went?
No, I didn't. You know, I was thinking about it, but at the time that I went with my family, my kids were really young, and I just thought it would be enough work to try to, you know, keep them in line without actually giving them something that has a sharp, pointy object at the end of it.
And, yeah.
So, no, I didn't.
A dagger.
I really would like to fish that area, though.
Yeah, so, you know, the number of times I've been out there, I've actually taken a rod and reel. You know, if we end up there this weekend, and, you know, that'll be decided tomorrow at 10 a.m., certainly plan to, but, you know, excellent fishing, especially from the middle to upper section. The lower section, the water runs pretty quickly, so, yeah, probably a little tougher to fish. But, you know, for anybody that's backpacking that, you know, thinks they might want to do a little fishing, I'd certainly encourage it.
Yeah, no doubt. I brought my pole this time, so hopefully we'll be able to, if we do that hike, I'll definitely bring the pole.
Well, you're a seasoned veteran in the fishing community, having been in Northern Ontario with you, where you've slayed pike on a regular basis. Hey, so a question for you that I think our listeners need to hear tonight, Ken. The Chattooga River, and you might not recall this, but at times it runs simultaneous with the Foothills Trail. At times it runs with the Bartram Trail. Do you remember all those intersecting trails? Because it can get confusing, especially on the lower section.
Yeah, you know, fortunately I was with you, and you've hiked that quite a few times, so we didn't have a whole lot of issues. But yeah, there were a lot of intersecting trails, and it definitely could be confusing. So you'd want to have your deal mapped out before you go.
Yeah, and then the area I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, the Licklug Creek section, is very tricky because the Foothills Trail breaks away from the Chattooga River after running simultaneously with it for a while. It picks up the Bartram. The Bartram runs with it for a while south of there. You know, definitely a good idea to have a map and, you know, follow it closely as you get through there. So let me ask you, Ken. I mean, you know, you've been on some of the Chattooga. You've probably hiked, you know, probably 50% of it. I mean, you know, what's your vibe, man? You want to finish this thing out, or do you want to focus on mountaintops in you know, Switzerland? What are you thinking?
Well, I would like to go to the mountaintops of Switzerland, but yeah, I would like to finish this out. You know, it's one of the more dramatic hikes that you get to do in Georgia. It's certainly worth doing. You know, having rafted it, I've done that. But yeah, I would like to finish that. But there's a lot of other places I would like to hike as well. But I would certainly like to knock this off the list.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about hiking. There's just no limit to what's out there, you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, Ken, a.k.a. The Weasel, I've done a lot of great adventures with you. I've known you since we were kindergarten, right?
Yeah,
somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Amazing that you and I live in the same town today after growing up, what, I don't know how many millions of miles Ohio is from here, but a long way, right?
That's crazy. You just keep following me around.
Yeah, yeah, you can't shake me. It's like a, it's like I'm a cold. But, you know, that being said, so, but, you know, of all the trips that we've done together, that you've done in the backcountry, what's been your most favorite? What stands out in your mind? What, you know, what's your number one, numero uno?
The best trip. You know, probably, it's tough to say. I can think of the least favorite more so than the, there's only been one.
Hey, bad. Let's hear it.
Here's the thing.
Our listeners need to hear the good
of all
bad.
The trips that I've ever taken, there's only been one bad one, and there's been dozens of good ones. So it's that's a credit to you. Maybe the Ellicott Rock, you know, aside from walking in the dark, you know, it was that was a great campsite. It was a lot of fun. You know, the camaraderie, the people that went.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of hiking for me, that's what it's all about. You know, it's about who you go with, because there's so many different ways you can hike. You know, you can hike with your family, which is amazing. You know, you can hike with friends. You can hike with a bunch of guys. You can hike with your wife. But that vibe of people, probably, you know, I would say that would be the best hike that we've been on together.
So we got to ask, the listeners are curious, Ken. Your worst hike. I know what you're going to say, but let's hear about that.
Man, I could throw you off, but I'm going to go with the Chunky Gal Trail.
it was actually Tuskegee Ball.
Oh, was it Tuskegee Ball?
Yeah, like August.
Where am I getting
No, Chunky Gal's right around there.
Yeah.
That might have been actually the Chunky Gal Trail that took us to Tuskegee Ball.
Well, anybody listening to this, I can't overstate how hot it is in Georgia in August.
That was actually North Carolina, for the record.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's hot there.
But it's right on the border.
Yeah, it's on the border.
Yeah.
But it was hot. We hiked up to a bald, which actually turned out not to be a bald.
Well, let's talk about the hike a little bit, because it wasn't really a hike. It was more of a bushwhack.
I remember we got, you know, we had to get water at the base, because there was no water, obviously, at the summit, and we weren't sure where that would be. But there had been a hurricane. Was that Ivan? I'm not sure. There had been a hurricane that had gone through at some point, and I don't think anybody had hiked that trail since the hurricane, because there were blowdowns everywhere.
So what I did for Ken, a.k.a. The Weasel, was I pulled up a picture of him on top of Tuskegee Bald, which he hasn't probably seen since we did it.
Man, I look tired.
we're sitting in the...
And for the record, if you look at this picture, that doesn't look like a bald to me.
It looks like a very angry weasel on top of Tuskegee Bald. Yeah, so you'll have to go to the website and check it out. But, you know, I'm going to back it up so you can see what year that was. Do you remember what year that was? I can stab a guess.
That was, you know, I'm going to guess, too. It was in the 90s. Had to have been in the 90s.
It was?
I'm going to go with 97.
You're really close. I think it was 98, and I'm about to reveal it when I pop this back.
I'm thinking, because I think, you know, aside from Film Hunt, was that the last hike? 97, I nailed it.
The Weasel was all over.
Wow.
August 2nd and 3rd. And we actually followed a trail. It was marked. And the blazes were pretty clear, but I think a storm must have come through there, and it was just brutal.
Yeah, the blazes were clear. I mean, the blazes weren't the problem. The problem was that it was not cleared, and also there was... Nobody had hiked the trail, I don't think, that year.
Didn't look like
it. There were no footprints. You know, there just wasn't evidence of anybody going up.
And, you know, honestly, that was the first hike that you and I had done together for a number of years. You know, we did a lot as kids, and then we kind of got back into it when I moved to Atlanta and found you, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed you ever came out with me again.
No. I mean, you know, aside from the hike in, actually, when we got to the top of the bald, you know, quasi-bald, I guess, it was beautiful up there. It was, you know, there was nobody had been there, so it was very, very pristine. And I remember that night, you know, there was all sorts of wildlife, which was a little spooky because, you know, you got a little more than you would normally have. But it was, you know, it was nice once we got there, and the scenery was great.
Yeah, I mean, we got up the top. There's a great view, and I've kind of been curious to go back because that was such a torturous trip that time. I mean, it was hot as anything, right?
Like, yeah, it was brutal.
Oh, my God. But,
you know, once we got there, it was fun. It was just the trek on the way in and the fact that we had to schlep all the water all the way up in, too.
That was a schlep and a half.
Yeah, it was brutal.
So, Ken, a.k.a. The Weasel, I'm glad that we'll have a chance to head out this weekend again together.
Oh, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
And for our listeners in the studio audience, if you make it to Skeety Bald, shoot The Weasel and I a note and let us know if it still sucks as bad as it did when we were there, or if it's amazingly better. Because honestly, to back him up on this, it's in my top three of worst hikes of all time. So if you're man or woman enough to knock it out, then maybe the trails are better today.
Could I don't know. Be better.
Hard possibly. To say. Hard to say. But I can tell you this weekend, our experience will be very different.
Yeah. You know, and I think, in all fairness, that hike might be better if you would do it sometime when it's not 95 degrees out and very humid.
That's fair. Yeah. Fair to say, man. Fair to say. Well, hey, Ken, thank you for being on the show tonight.
You're welcome, Steve.
You know, maybe we can do it again sometime.
Oh, absolutely, man. Anytime.
Maybe we'll have a little post-podcast episode after our hike this weekend.
Sure thing. We'll do it.
Thanks for listening to the N2 Backpacking Podcast. This is Bird Shooter, wishing you the best for your travels on the trail. To subscribe to this podcast, visit Apple's iTunes Store. Or download them directly at N2Backpacking.com, the My Podcast tab. Music for this podcast was provided by the John Zed Band. For more information on this Atlanta-based musician, visit his website at johnzed.com. That's johnzed.com. Or search for his latest release through iTunes. This podcast is a production of N2 Backpacking and is copyrighted by N2 Ventures, Inc. For more information or to provide feedback or comments on this or future shows, please visit us at N2Backpacking.com. That's little n, number 2, backpacking.com. Sorry.